came to me that I just want to share with you tonight, and we're going to be in verse, starting in verse 33. And what we're going to talk about tonight is the ministry of being an encourager. There's a ministry in that. Some people think if it's ministry, it must be a pulpit ministry. It must be the head of the Sunday school class or the head of the Sunday school or leading the youth. They don't look at ministry as simply being an encourager. We all like encouragers. Now, what's an encourager? You probably in your lifetime, you may know of somebody right now, but an encourager is that kind of person, no matter how you're feeling, when you run across that person, you walk away feeling better. You walk away feeling more confident. Even if you were, you know, right on the fringes of being into a depression, you just spend a little bit of time with them. They have a way of uplifting people, of making them feel good, not just about themselves. And I'm not talking about a natural thing. I'm talking about a spiritual thing that can happen. And there is a ministry in being an encourager. And there's someone in the Bible here in Acts chapter 4, verses 33 through 37. We're going to read this, and it has a good meaning to it. And let's pray. God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will minister to us tonight. You'll help us tonight, God. Perhaps you want us to have the ministry of an encourager, God. Lord, we pray that you'll speak to our hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen. Verse 33 of Acts chapter 4. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And here's who we're going to talk about. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So here we find a very interesting account of a man that the apostles surnamed Barnabas. And the reason they called him Barnabas is because he was the son of consolation, which if you interpret that, he was an encourager. He was an inspiration to be around. We all know some people that it's not much of an inspiration to be around them. If you're walking down Main Street and you see them coming up on the same side and they haven't noticed you yet, you might have a temptation to go to the other side of the street or to duck into a store somewhere because you just don't have time to listen to all of their troubles, all of their woes. And there's those kinds of people that we meet. And that's not a ministry, okay? That's not a ministry. But there's types of people that you meet that you feel worse when you talk to them. You don't feel any better. Listen, we're children of the King. We have something to be excited about. And when people come across our path, when we cross the path of other people, they should feel better after they have an interaction with us. Amen. There should be something within them that they're excited about something. They don't even know what they're excited about because you are an encourager. We need to be encouragers. And I'll say this, what we're going to talk about tonight. You are, and we all are anointed by God to be encouragers. Everywhere Jesus went, he was doing good, and I think he encouraged people. He didn't push them down. He didn't beat that woman at the well and say, "Why, you filthy, dirty, sinful woman, you're no good for nothing. You've had five husbands, and a man you're with now isn't your husband. And man, you're a messed up creature, and you need to call on God for mercy." How would that woman have felt? She would have felt worse. But he encouraged her, even the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery. And when you read that story, you mustn't forget that the way the law was written, yes, she should have been stoned, but so should have the man. And the man they didn't bring before Jesus, they just brought that woman before Jesus. And Jesus didn't condemn her, he encouraged her. He inspired her to live a better life, to choose to go a better way. And we need to be that kind of an individual too. So we are anointed by God to be an encourager. And the Spirit of God wants to flow out of you to others as encouragement. Man, when I see you and you say good morning, you say hello, I might just be sort of down because we all have troubles. Hey,
I was sort of down the other day. You know why? I had to pay my property taxes. Had to pay my property taxes. I wasn't feeling real good about that. I was glad I could pay my property taxes. But man, when you have property, I mean, I got to pay to be on my own property if you look at it that way. And I pay a pretty hefty price for the area that I live in. I was feeling a little bit down. There are times in our lives where we all have experienced discouragement. We all have. From the preacher to the youngest ones in the church, everybody in between. Everybody experiences that at some time in their life. And the Spirit of God wants to flow out of you, wants to flow out of me, so that people, when they have an interaction with us, they just walk away feeling better. They feel and have an encouragement. And to encourage, what does that mean? It means to put courage back into somebody. They just become discouraged. There's a lot of work to do. Amen. There's a lot of work to do, and many people have lost their courage, are just discouraged. I've invited people to church before, and it might not look at it as discouragement, but it is. Why don't we invite more people to church? Because if we get down to the brass tacks and start talking about it, because of past rejections. I've just been rejected. I'm just done. I'm not inviting anybody else to church. I'm just going to pray about it. God's going to have to be the one that does the work. We can become discouraged. There's a lot to do, and they have lost their courage. Amen. And so this man here, his name was Joseph, J-O-S-E-S, which comes from the name Joseph, is where that name comes from. And the apostles here, they named him Barnabas, son of consolation. If somebody were to tack a nickname on you, what would it be? Think about that. What would it be? Troublemaker, stirrer of the pot, needy, always wanting something, always looking for a handout. I mean, I'm giving some negative names that can be tacked on different ones. We've all met people like that in our lives. If a name was to be tacked on you, they never have enough money. Another name we could tack on somebody, they're just always down. They're always sick. It's always just poor me, me oh my. That's the kind of people I want to jump to the other side of the street. Yet I want to help them, but it's like, Lord, have mercy. So if a nickname could be tacked on to you, what do you think that nickname would be? Would you be, yeah, they're an encourager. They're interesting to be around. They're an inspiration to be around. Now, he's gone to be with the Lord many years ago, but Pastor Larson from Smithport, he was an encourager. It didn't matter how low you were. He was there to push you along, to come on, you can do this. You can make it. He was an inspiration to be around. He had a lot of zest for life. He had a lot of spark in him. And do you have a lot of spark in you? Do you have a zest for life? And so consolation, what does that mean? He was a son of consolation. That means that he could offer comfort to people. Are you able to offer comfort to people in whatever situation they're facing? Or do you draw judgments on them and think, well, you might not say it to them, but you're thinking they're in that. They brought it on themselves, and they're just going to have to, you know, they're just going to have to get through this because it's their own fault they're in that situation. Even if it is someone's own fault that they're in the situation that they're in, they need comfort. They need some words of encouragement. And God can inspire you and help you to have the right things to say to them. And so if you're a son of consolation, you can offer comfort to people. You can offer encouragement to people. You can encourage them. You can drop a word of encouragement in their heart. Just as an example, our young brother sang this song here tonight. So he's young and he's not to this point yet. But you might get up sometime and sing a song and think, man, that was a complete flop. That was a failure. Or you might be called upon and you might get up and teach a lesson. Or you might be called on to preach. You might be called on to give an exhortation. And you're thinking, boy, that was a flop. That was a failure. I didn't do very good in that. They might call on you down in the church during this revival to sing a song. And you think you got it all together, Riley. And you get up there and the piano just doesn't sound right. And you're in one key and the piano's in another. Another key, and Judy's in a different key, and it's like messed up. Somebody needs to encourage you. Somebody needs to come and say, that was great tonight. Keep up the good work. Keep on moving on. And it's not that you're lying to them. You got to encourage people. At least they had the courage to get up there and try to do something. Be an encourager to people. Encourage people. And then a son of consolation means also of exhortation. If you're an encourager, and there used to be people that came through this church. It happens occasionally now, even with some of you. It comes time for testimony time, time for sharing. And I made the comment tonight a little bit because I did use the word exhortation. There are people that sit in congregations that can stand up and give a testimony for 3 minutes and say more in those 3 minutes than what the preacher says in 30 minutes. Because they're anointed by God. They're being an encouragement to the congregation. The Holy Ghost is anointing them. And they're saying words of spirit and of life, of something that came to them this week. The scripture was open to them in something. And they just give up and give an exhortation. I've heard plenty of them over the years. Man, your spirit bears witness with their spirit. You know they're being anointed by God. You can receive something from that. They're being an encourager. And if you're a son of consolation or one of encouragement, you lift others up. You're cheering them on. You can do this. You can make it. We sing that song, I know I can make it. Jesus put it in my will to make it to that New Jerusalem. Each step is a thrill. And as we're saying thrill, we're thinking it's not really a thrill. You don't know what I'm going through. But it's a lifting up, a cheering. If you're there to cheer them on. You can do this. You can make it. You're there to help them and encourage them. The ministry of encouragement is needed. Just in general, it's needed. We all need encouragement. Things in this life are not easy. We're all facing things. And if you've ever had something happen to you where it almost like shot you right in the heart. It's just like right in the heart. If something is said to you, something is done against you, it takes all the wind out of your sail. It takes all the air out of your balloon. And you just want to sit down in a chair. And you just want to curl up in a ball and climb under your blankets. And like some of the prophets did in the Old Testament, you just want to climb into a cave somewhere. You just want to go into hiding because something hits you. And it hits you harder than you think it should have hit you in a negative way. When you fall into that kind of a thing, you need somebody to come along and encourage you. Amen. To encourage you in the Lord. Life in general has a way of draining you. It just drains you. You're busy. You're paying your taxes. You got to keep gas in your vehicle. And the price is climbing. And you go to the grocery store and the prices are going up there. And you ask for a raise at the job and they just sort of laugh at you. That isn't going to happen. It seems like all the tide is against you. Everything is against you. So life has a way of draining you. Life has a way of taking your natural happiness and joy away. And that's just life in general. And that's not counting the spiritual warfare that goes on against each one of us. So life is against you, trying to take your joy and happiness from you. And then you put on top of that the spiritual warfare of the enemy. It doesn't look like we have much of a chance. If you just look at those two things, but we know that we do because the Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. And we can do those things in the name of the Lord. So at times we all need encouraged. We need encouraged in the Lord. Everybody needs encouraged in the Lord. At one time or another, everyone needs encouragement. Well, I don't need encouragement. Yes, you do. From time to time, you will need encouragement. Even leaders of nations need encouragement. Even leaders of churches need encouragement. We look at some of these evangelists that they have thousands of followers and people that they're touching in their ministry, and even pastors of local churches. We look at them and we think, well, they're successful in what they're doing. There's times that they need encouraged in the Lord. You can be an encourager to them. You can be an inspiration to them. Pastors need encouragement. Leaders of nations need encouragement. Sunday school teachers need encouragement. The youth leaders need encouragement. The church cleaners, they need encouragement. The ones that clean the sidewalks, that mow the grass, everybody needs encouragement. Every once in a while, everybody needs a pat on the back. You're doing a good job. Keep it up. We're proud of you. We're happy for what you're doing. Have you ever counted someone out? You've counted someone out. They're through. They're done. They're just not here anymore. They're here, but they're just not connecting with anybody. Have you ever considered that what they just needed was a little bit of encouragement? Discouragement's a real thing. And if you've experienced it, you know what I'm talking about. When you're discouraged, you don't have the will to go on. You just want to quit. You might come to church. You might sit there in your seat. you're going to have a hard time praising the Lord and hopefully have enough victory that you can do that, but you're just done. I'm just done with things. I'm through. It's over. That's a sign of discouragement. And a lot of times we look at people like that and we count them out, check them off the list. They ain't going to be around much longer. Might be that all they need is a word of encouragement. And it's we true. Need to be the one to step up to the plate and encourage those. When we see somebody and it seems like they're becoming indifferent and they're falling out a little bit, we need to be sensitive to the Spirit of God and to the leading of the Spirit of God. Maybe they need to be encouraged. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. We've all been in that place. You might read that and think, yeah, that's me. Oh, I'm troubled. And on every side, it's coming in from every side. Things can't get worse than what they are. I'm distressed. I'm perplexed. I don't know why all this is going on in my life. But it says, even though in the midst of all that, I'm not in despair. I'm not in a hopeless situation. I know that God is there to help me. I'm persecuted, but I'm not forsaken. I am cast down. I am struck down, but I am not destroyed because I call on the God of my salvation. Amen. A lifting ministry. If you want to have a lifting ministry, be an encourager. Be an encourager. When somebody's starting out in ministry and they get up and preach for their very first time, they're obviously not going to do it as well as somebody that's done it for a long time. But you don't go behind their back and say, wow, they need to really practice. That wasn't so good. And you're not lying to them. You be an encourager. You go to them and you say, great job. Keep on. Billy Graham preached his first message somewhere, and it wasn't as good as his last message. And it shouldn't have been, because he grew in his ability and talent and the anointing of God to be able to do what he did. You have to start somewhere. But it's a lifting ministry if you are able to be an encourager. In 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6. 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6. We're going to look over there. 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6. And so maybe you have a ministry and you didn't realize it was a ministry. Here's somebody that needed encouraged. Put yourself in his shoes. And this was when the Amalekites took Ziklag. In verse 6 of 1 Samuel 30. And David was greatly distressed. Greatly distressed. He was discouraged. Okay? For the people spake of stoning him. He's the king. He's the leader. They're following him. They're listening to him. Now they're ready to stone him. He's distressed. Because the soul of all the people was grieved. It was very grieved because of what had happened. They were very bitter about what happened. Every man for his sons and for his daughters. They were just down. But did David go into despair and go into hiding? The last little sentence in that verse tells us what David did. And it's an important word. It says, but David, that thing don't need to be on now, I guess. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Listen, there's going to be some times that you got to encourage yourself in the Lord your God. As the world saying goes, there's going to be some times that you got to reach down and get yourself and get a hold of the bootstraps and pull them up and just get out there and do what you got to do. David did that this time in this situation. All the people were against him. They were talking about stoning him because they had lost their sons and daughters. It was a horrific thing that happened, and they were blaming all of this at the door of David, and he was distressed. It was like, wow, what am I going to do? And he didn't go into despair. Instead, what he did is he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Sometimes you're going to have to encourage yourself in the Lord your God. And that's where some like to say that psalm that David wrote, where he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. You need to encourage yourself in God. You need to realize that you have the power to do that. And there's times that you're going to need to do that. Amen. And so it's true that everyone needs to know how to encourage themselves. That's true. I'm glad that David was able to do that. And perhaps you've had times in your life where you successfully were able to get yourself by the bootstraps, get yourself up and moving again. Nobody even had to say a word to you, and you did okay, and you moved on. David did here. But there are times, amen, that we need to know how to encourage others. When you see somebody stumble, when you see somebody really up against the pressures of life, You need to know how to encourage them. You need to know to how to say the right words to them, not just because it's some psychological thing and I'll say this in this situation, because they can teach you all that in books. And if someone's facing a death, these are the words you can say to them. If they're facing a financial difficulty, these are the words you can say to them. I'm talking about words of spirit and life. Everybody from time to time needs to know how to encourage others. You know what we tend to do? When somebody's really down and out, they just need to get a hold of themselves. They need to kick themselves. They just need to get up and they just need to encourage themselves in the Lord. That is easier said than done. It's wonderful if you can do that, but it's not every single time that we even have the ability or strength to do that. We need somebody to come along and say, you're doing all right. I'm with you. You're doing okay. You can make it. And encourage them, poke them a little bit, push them along, prod them in the right direction. We are all called to encourage others. You're called to encourage others. Somebody in your life, if you're not the one, somebody in your life right now needs encouragement. They need encouragement. They need to hear, you're doing good. Just keep moving ahead. Let's look at another example over in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 35 has a lot to say to us here about encouraging people and about people reaching out to God. Isaiah chapter 35, we're going to read verses 3 through 7. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. If you confirm them, you make them firm. It sounds like an encourager here. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, in the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And so this is somebody coming into a situation where there's a dire situation here. There's a dire need. It's gloomy. It's doomy. It's not good. And they go in there and you're able to turn that parched ground into a pool. And how do you do that? By being an encourager. By telling them, I know that you can make it. I know that you can do this. I'm praying for you. There's people that face things and we know they're going to face things. And there's nothing wrong with going to them and say, I'm praying for you. You got this. It's going to be okay. God's going to work this out in your life. And that can be along medical lines. And there's situations that people are facing in their life. Sometimes they're involved in legal matters and situations. And it's in the hands of a judge or a jury or whatever the situation is. We just don't stand back, keep our fingers crossed, and hope the best for them. We encourage them. Hey, I'm praying for you. God is by your side. And if God be for you, who can be against you? We need to learn how to lift people up. And so the first thing that he did here in verse 3, the first thing that he did here was strengthen the hands and confirm the feeble knees. That's the first thing that he did. And say to them, this is given encouragement here. They gave encouragement. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, don't be afraid. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. God's got this. Don't be afraid. You can do this. You give encouragement to them first. And then what happens? After you give them encouragement, and in this scripture that we read here, after encouragement was given, then there was a healing that came. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be stopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart. But first encouragement had to come. They had to be encouraged, and then the healing come, and then the help come that they needed. And then finally, we get down into verse 7, and then there was a deliverance that came to them. And that's at the end of verse 6, and the lame man shall leap as a hart, and the tongues as a dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. That sounds like a deliverance to me. There was a deliverance that came to them. And then there was a spiritual renewal, as we read verse 7, and the parched ground shall become a pool. That's a spiritual renewal. And the thirsty land, springs of water and the habitation of dragons. And so it had a progression. First there was encouragement, then there was healing, then there was deliverance, and then there was a spiritual renewal. And you know what we want to happen? We get it in reverse. We just look at somebody that's in a dire situation, and we say to them, you need a spiritual renewal. Yeah, they need a spiritual renewal, but they need encourage first. Amen. So that they have that ability to be able to reach out to God. If you're in a discouraged situation, how are you going to reach out to God? First, you have to get out of that redundancy, that no response. It's just hard for me to reach out to God. Yeah, they need that spiritual renewal, but if they're going to receive that, they have to receive an encouragement first. And then there has to be a healing that happens within. And you know what? Some of this stuff doesn't just happen overnight. Healing takes time. Miracles are right now. Boom, it happens. But a healing takes time. My wife just experienced a little bit of a health issue, and they had to do a little bit of cutting on her, and it didn't heal overnight. And I'm a nurse by trade, I guess I'll say it that way, by choice, by the will of God. So I had to nurse her along for that healing to happen. You know what our trouble is sometimes? When somebody's down, we expect them instantly just to be okay. That doesn't happen that way. It takes time. It takes time. There has to be a healing that happens. There has to be a spiritual thing that happens. There's a stirring that goes on inside of them. And then once they begin to reach out to God, and then that deliverance can come where they can get over that mountain, whatever it is, that has pulled them into that despondency and that discouragement. And then there can be that spiritual renewal that can happen in their life. Amen. But there was something outstanding about Barnabas that the apostles thought about him as an encourager, and they nicknamed him Son of Consolation. And we're drawing to an end here tonight. If you had a nickname, what would it be?
Troublemaker? Yep.
Would it be? Yep. Oh, holier than thou? Would it be? What would it be? What would it be? Wouldn't it be nice if people, when your name come up, what a wonderful person. No matter how down I'm feeling, and even no matter how good I'm feeling about myself, when I spend a little bit of time around them, I walk away feeling like $1 million. I walk away feeling like I really have a purpose and a reason to live this life that I'm living. What name would you be given? So do be an encourager. If you're going to be an encourager, the first thing you must do is be encouraged yourself. How can I encourage someone if I'm not encouraged? Misery loves company. So the devil gives me a blow, takes the wind out of my sail, and I'm feeling blue. And then Brother Kyle comes along. He just had something said or done to him. The wind's out of his sail. That's a pitiful situation. Now we're both down, and we're both going to cry on each other's shoulders saying how unfair life is, and it's just not right, and what am I going to do? And we're thinking about maybe dropping out. Let's quit. I try. I'm rejected. It's just not worth it. If you're going to be an encourager, first, you have to be encouraged yourself. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 2 and 4. So it's important that you stay encouraged yourself. Just don't say things to people because it's the right thing to say. Say things to people because it comes from your heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. For if I make you sorry, who is he that maketh me glad? But the same which is made sorry by me. And I wrote this same with you. Least when I come, I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. He was encouraging others. He was letting them know, I'm writing this unto you, and I'm writing this for out of the much affliction and anguish of heart, write I with many tears. Not that you're going to be grieved. You're not going to be upset by the things that I'm going to say to you. Realize that there's been prayer behind this. There's been thought put into this. I'm not here trying to push you down and make you look like you're a flop and a failure. There's a lot of prayer. There's a lot of tears that have gone into this. That not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly to you. He was an encourager. Encourage people. Sometimes when you try to encourage people, they can take it the wrong way. They could become upset about it. So if you're going to be an encourager, you must be encouraged yourself. And so the second thing about is encouragement is this. Amen. We have to receive in order to give. We can't give something that we don't have. You can't encourage somebody if you're not encouraged yourself. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, I'm going to read this. Bear ye one another burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If I don't bear your burdens with you, and I'm not feeling your pain, I don't have any empathy towards you, how can I help you? Just all of a sudden, I'm going to turn this on. And people have said this to others, and there was no meaning behind it other than the word sounding right. Have you ever had anybody say to you, you don't have to respond, but people say, I feel your pain. They don't feel your pain. They have no idea what you're going through. It's just a nice thing to say. And by saying that, they're hoping that it'll somehow make you feel better. Feel better. And so if you're really going to help somebody, you need to receive in order to give. And what do you receive? Here you bear one another burdens. Listen, I'm in this with you. I'm not the one that has the sickness, the prognosis, or the disease, if we go along that line. I'm not the one that's in a dire financial situation. You are right now. But I'm going to bear this with you. I'm going to stick with you on to the end in this. And that encourages somebody to know they're not alone. We just don't say to somebody, well, I hope it works out for you. Good luck. I'll say a prayer for you and let me know how it works out. That's not encouraging to anybody. So if you want to encourage somebody, you must be encouraged yourself. And you have to receive in order to give. And this is needed 24/7 to bear one another's burdens. Oh, that's just so sad what they're going through. We say that. We're moved with emotion a little bit, but we're not really moved. In the back of our minds, we're thinking, I'm glad that's not me. Man, I'm glad that's not me. I sure wouldn't want that. If you're really bearing somebody's burden, you're truly feeling the pain that they're feeling. You're feeling what they're going through. And if they're losing sleep, we say as Christians you shouldn't lose sleep, but sometimes we do. If they're losing sleep over the situation, you're bearing the burden with them, you're going to lose some sleep too. You're going to be there with them to encourage them and to help them. You don't wait until someone is down to give an encouraging word. Oh, they're down. I better go over and give them an encouraging word. We need to be giving encouraging words daily to people. We need to be uplifting people. We need to be an encouragement to them. Oh, I can help somebody when they're down. How about if you help them before they're down and then they won't get down? Be an encourager to others. Be an encourager to others. And if there was more encouraging going on, and now we're going to talk about the house of God, about the saints of God. If there was more encouraging, and don't be offended by this, I'm not picking on people. If there was more encouraging going on around the house of God, like it should be going on, you know what would happen? There would be less despondent people. There would be less of us that are going to be stressed out. There's going to be less of us that are going to be depressed. There's going to be less of us that are oppressed by the enemy, and there's going to be less discouragement in our midst if we would go along and we would just encourage others. Hey, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you, sister. There's one in the church right now that's facing a situation with a surgery that's going to be coming up, and that individual could easily feel like they're alone. I hope the church understands. I know they're praying for me, but just don't do it because I'm saying it tonight, and perhaps you've already done it. Go to that individual and say, I am with you in this. If there's anything you need, let me know. I am praying for the best outcome, that God will intervene in this situation. I am there with you. I want you to be encouraged in the Lord. You're not discouraged. You're not down about this, are you? It's okay to ask somebody that. How's this affecting you? Is it really pulling you down? And get a response from them. So don't wait, don't wait until people are down to try to encourage them. And we're going to look just at a few scriptures in the book of Proverbs, and I don't have to make many comments about them because they speak for themselves about being an encourager to others. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25 says this, heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Be an encourager. I'm going to read that again. Heaviness in the heart. Heaviness in the heart. You know what that heaviness is? It's talking about anxiety. Anxiety in the heart maketh it to stoop, just sinks low. But a good word maketh it glad. So if you're an encourager, somebody's experiencing anxiety, you're just not necessarily going to even know it, but you're just going to say something encouraging to them. That is very, very important. Just over a few pages, Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 24. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Pleasant words. Is this pleasant words? Somebody's going through something. Brother Kyle's going through something. He's sitting near the front, so I'll pick on him. He's going through something. Is this pleasant words if I come up to him and say, "You're not doing so well, are you? Boy, you got some issues. You need to get a hold of yourself. You need to do better than what you're doing." Is that pleasant words to him? That's not pleasant words to him. But if I see he's going through something and I'm saying, "Brother, how are you doing?" and try to open up that door of conversation with him and then encouraging him, saying, "You can make this. You got this. I'm standing with you. I'm praying for you. I'm here if you need me. You can call me anytime. If you need to call me at 3 o'clock in the morning, so be it. Call me at 3 o'clock in the morning." And this scripture that we read here said that pleasant words are as a honeycomb. They're sweet to the soul and they are health to the bones. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 11. And then after this, there's just one more verse. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 11. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. You're a righteous person. Your mouth should be a well of life. There's words of spirit and of life that's flowing out to you to help those that are around you. And the last verse I'm going to share is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 50 and verse 4. Be an encourager. It's a ministry. I'm not doing nothing for God. Well, this is something that you can do for God. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 4. The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. And what was the prayer here? The tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Like I was using the example of Brother Kyle, and I don't believe he is, but just using that example, he's weary, and I need to speak it says it here, speak a word in season to him that is weary. And if I come up and say, "Hey, you just need to get a hold of yourself. You just need to poke yourself along. You should be ashamed of the way you're handling this situation. You should be able to do better than this." That's not speaking as a word in season and in time. There is a right time to say something to somebody. And it's not every single time. You might see somebody and you just know what you need to say to them, but you got to wait for the right time to say that word to them so that they can receive it and it will be a word of encouragement to them. It says that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. We need to have a ministry of encouragement. God, that I might know how to speak at the right time to the one that is weary, to the one that is discouraged. That's a ministry. And God can help each one of us to do that. And so encouragement has the power to strengthen, and it spurs others on. Encouragement. Have you ever been down and you've been encouraged? Have you ever been down and you encouraged yourself in the Lord? That's wonderful. Have you ever been down and you tried to encourage yourself in the Lord, but it just wasn't working this time? That's when you need somebody to speak words of encouragement and of life to you. Not, as I shared, not to count them out. Well, they're done. There's another statistic. Let's put an X over their name. No, we need to be encouragers. Encouragement has the power to strengthen and spur others on. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Amen. Stand to your feet. Amen. And in there, in your place of, you can make it a place of prayer, standing right there where you are. We're so limited up here with the setting that we have. But to be an encourager in the Lord. And you can pray, "God, help me to have the ministry of encouragement where I can encourage others." Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will speak to the hearts of everyone that is gathered here this night, God. Lord, that we'll have that ministry of encouragement. God, that we'll speak a word in the right season of time, God. Lord, a ministry that is so needed, God. Yes, we can encourage ourselves in you, God, but there's times that we need to hear an encouraging word from a brother or sister that's near to us. Oh, God, Lord, open our understanding, open our hearts, God. Lord, and if there's anybody here tonight that's downcast, downtrodden, in a place of discouragement, in a place of distress, God, that you'll minister unto them in the name of Jesus, that you will speak to their hearts, God. Lord, and as they get this encouragement in you, they'll be able to spread it on to others. They'll be able to go out and be an encouragement. They'll be able to share their testimony with others, how at one time they were so despondent, but yet you lifted them up and you helped them. And the words of others were said at the proper season, at the proper time. God, help us in the name of Jesus, Lord, to be sensitive to your will, to be sensitive to your spirit, Lord, to be sensitive to the needs of others, God. Open our eyes, open our understanding, oh God, Lord, that we can go out and encourage each other in you. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, just spend a moment of time asking God to help you. Lord, help me to be an encourager. Help me to be an encourager. You may have to pray, God, I'm not to encourage myself this night. God, I need to encourage myself in you. God, I have this courage to go on and to move forward. Father, in the name of Jesus, help each one of us this night in Jesus' name. We'll sing this song, I Know I Can Make It. Jesus, put it in my will. Amen. We're going to sing that song, I Know That I Can Make It. Jesus, put it in my will to reach that New Jerusalem. Each step is a thrill. Each step isn't always good and wonderful. Some steps are pretty shaky, but each step is a thrill because I'm climbing onward and I'm climbing upward, and then I'm closer to heaven than I was even yesterday or a week ago. I know you can make it. There's nobody in here that can't make it. You can do it. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. And I didn't hit it tonight or talk about it, but you want to be an encourager to somebody. People that are facing addictions feel like they're never going to be able to break that addiction, but you can be an encouragement to them. You can brag on them. You can say, you're doing okay. You're doing better. I'm praying for you. They have to have that. We call it in the natural sense, we call it a support system, but we have the support system in us, which is the power of the Holy Ghost, to be an encouragement to people. There's people that have alcohol addictions, and they've tried and tried to break it. They need encouragement that they can get the victory over it. Amen. The drug addictions that are out there, they need to hear words that you can get over this. You can stop this thing. Your life can be new. There's many ways that we can help people. Be an encourager. Don't count anybody as a statistic. They're a lost cause. There's no help for them. There's no hope for them. They can do it. They can make it. Let's sing it tonight. I know that I can make it. Jesus, put it in my will.
I know that I can make it. Jesus, put it in my will. To reach that New Jerusalem, each step is a thrill. Though the devil wars against me, tries to hinder my climb, I see the lights there in the distance. It's just a matter of time when I know that I can make it. Jesus, put it in my will to reach that New Jerusalem. Each step is a thrill. Though the devil wars against me, he tries to hinder my climb. I see the lights there in the distance. It's just a matter of time.
You talk about discouragement. You talk about people that need help. This ministry that Brother Kyle and Sister Sarah are able to do over at the McKean County Jail, those people need encouraged. They need encouraged. But, I mean, they're there for a reason. Something went wrong in their life. Something's not going so good. Man, that's a ministry of encouragement. Whatever you say to those people, you're lifting them up. I mean, how much lower can they get than that? I mean, that's low when you end up in that place. And I mean, locked up in a cage somewhere, that's what they do to animals. Animals get locked up in cages. But when people get locked up in cages, talk about discouraged. I can only imagine. Oh, and he reaches out to them with that good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And Jesus can lift them out of the miry clay and plant their feet on the solid rock. Why don't we just sing that a couple of times in closing? Amen. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. Amen. He
brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. Oh, he got me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. Oh, he brought me out of the miry clay. Oh, he set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah.
Share with others what Jesus has done for you. There's people out there everywhere that it's the end for them, that they don't see any reason for living. It's just done. I'm a flop. I'm a failure. They need somebody to come along and say, you can do this. You can do it. You can make this. I'm going to stand by your side until you get through this. Be an encourager. God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for this word. Help us, God, to have this ministry of encouragement, God, where we can go and encourage others. But first, to be encouraged ourselves, God, that we can take this out to others. We can make a difference in their life. It's not us doing it, but it's you doing it through us, God, that we can speak a word in season and in time, God, or to see somebody uplifted. God, we thank you for the deliverance that you have for everyone. Be with us as we leave this place. Keep your hand upon us. Lead, God, protect us, God, your blessing to be upon us. Lord, let us be effective in our witness for you. Help us, God, sometime, somewhere this week where we can put this into practice, what we heard tonight. God, where we can be an encourager, an encouragement to somebody else, God, that we can speak words of spirit and life to them. We thank you for it, and everybody say amen. Be encouraged in the Lord tonight.